So, we've spoken to Julie quite recently about fatigue, because that's one of the most common symptoms of people with MS, as she's explained. So, I've come to chat to a few people in our MS group in York. So, I'm here with Vicky, Holly, Anita and Joe, who tend to have to manage their fatigue and get, I suppose, a few problems. Is that fair to say with fatigue? Do you, on a daily basis, is that fair?
Yeah.
So, because it hasn't actually happened to me yet, it's not one of my symptoms as such, it's something that I wanted to find out about, because it's something that I find strange how it can affect other people in that way, but it doesn't actually bother me as such. So I don't really understand when people say that they're suffering from fatigue and they can't do various things during the day, or they're wiped out by the afternoon. So I've come to have a chat with the four of them, just to see really how they manage it and what their day is like. So, Vicky.
I think the most important thing is I don't think I ever really understood what the difference between fatigue and tiredness is.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at really.
Yeah, and I think it hasn't been until maybe the last year that I've begun to understand that it's not just about tiredness or not having enough sleep. It's about having energy, and it's about having oomph, and it's about getting up in the morning and you're supposed to feel refreshed, but everything just seems to stretch out in front of you, and it's just understanding that it's almost like a condition in itself. So for example, for the last year, when anybody asks, I've always said, I don't feel ill, but I just don't feel well. And when I saw Julie last year, she said to me, do you think it could be fatigue? And I said, no, because, you know, I get plenty of sleep. And,
Is this something that's quite recent for you, or has it been over a number of years, would you say?
I think I've felt really sluggish for a couple of years. And because my life is so regimented and boxed in, and I do certain things at a certain time and I've got routine and everything, I stick rigidly to it, and it makes it harder to sort of like notice the other things going on. But I started to listen to myself when my husband came home from work. I would sometimes say to him, oh, my walking's really bad today, I'm finding it hard to put one foot in front of another, or oh, I found it really difficult to get across the room. And he would say to me, but you know, in an evening, you scoot round and round and round, and it's not like you can't walk. And it suddenly struck me that maybe it's not my walking that's affected, but my, like, the power that is required to get me to
not the pick muscles, my, but the battery.
Yes, not the muscles. That's very good.
Not the muscles.
Not the muscles, but the battery. So it's like the wiring that requires me. So it's not the fact that I can't walk. It's that my body does not have the energy to lift my legs up, which is a completely different thing from muscles not working.
That's my worst symptom, is fatigue. So when I'm fatigued, all my symptoms are 10 times worse. So usually I can walk, usually I can do everything, usually I can just function as normal. But when I'm fatigued, I can't do anything. And I can't lift my leg, and I can't think about what I need to do, and I can't think about how I'm going to get across the room to turn, you know, to pick something up.
Yeah.
And I just can't do it. And I want to do it, and I know what I'm going to pick that, I'm going to put it away, and I can't even work out how I'm going to get there to do it.
So, Anita, would you say that your symptoms become, you know, other MS symptoms become worse as you feel the fatigue?
Yeah, they do. But it's for me, when I get up in the morning, I'm fine, I'm good. So the things I need to do, I have to do in the morning. And then by about 3 o'clock, I'm sort of whining, I can't do stuff anymore. But then if I have a busy day and I do lots of stuff during the day, then I'm wiped out by about 2 o'clock. And it's just strange.
You have to plan everything to do what you want to do when you're at your best, which is usually on the morning.
But if you've got something that you need to do, you need to be okay for, you maybe have to take the day off the day before to make sure you've not worn yourself out beforehand, and make sure you've got the following day to take it easy as well. And it's just a lot of thinking.
Fatigue is... you can work through tiredness, you can still function with tiredness,
yeah.
You can't function with fatigue. That's the big difference. With fatigue, it's like, somebody described it as, it's like a mobile phone battery. Once the charge is gone, it's gone. And it's got to be fully recharged before you can start functioning.
But you can't have a nap and feel better. That doesn't help. Why don't you just have a nap? That doesn't help.
It might give you a little bit of a boost, yeah. But it's not going to get you back again.
Yeah, it's like on a morning, have you slept well? Well, I don't know. Well, do you feel refreshed? No, I never feel refreshed on a morning.
Never. Yeah. So you never wake up.
Me neither.
No. I never feel refreshed on a morning.
Are you still tired?
Yeah.
I've been tired for the last 30 years. I don't know what not being tired is like. Fatigue was the thing that got me. It's the biggest part of my MS. Always has been. That's why I was misdiagnosed for 9 years, because they thought it was chronic fatigue syndrome, because my fatigue was overwhelming. That's the biggest thing for me, is fatigue. You don't know you've done too much until you've done too much.
But then you just can't.
And then you're wiped out.
So how long would you say that you can function for? So when you get up, how many hours that you can function during the day before you then have
it's
to...
It's different
every day. It depends
what
you're doing.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Depends
on... But it's always that mental strain as well. So you have to think about something a lot. Thinking is harder work than doing, I think. So, like packing the dishwasher, okay, so sometimes you can't do it. But you can't think about planning, writing, filling out a form. That's harder work than anything.
And really?
We were talking about filling out pit forms today, weren't we, and how difficult it is.
When I was still working, and I was looking at finishing work, the people that worked for me said, we don't bother talking to you after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because we know you're not really there. You're physically there in body, but we know we won't get an awful lot of sense out of you. Because
it's like brain fog.
Yeah, the brain fog had kicked in by that point. By mid-afternoon, I'm done for.
So how long ago did you have to stop working then?
2012 is when I stopped working. And so,
mainly because of the fatigue?
Yeah, the fatigue was, I couldn't function anymore. I was taking days off work. I was taking a day off every week just to get through the week. And I was taking a week off before I went on holiday to rest, to enable me to go on holiday. And that's when it sort of like struck me, I couldn't continue like it, and that's where I had to get at work.
So the holiday in itself didn't actually help you to...
Holiday is more tiring. Going on holiday is more tiring.
You've got to think about
it. You have to pack, you have to go through an airport, you have to coordinate yourself, you have to have your passports, your tickets.
So much more to organise.
And then
so
you have to go on holiday and pack all your stuff, then pack it all back up again to come home. Holiday is not restful at all.
No.
I just rather not.
I'm going to say it sounds almost like it's not worth the effort.
No, it's not, and I just really would rather not.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'd rather stay at home?
It's difficult to say, because a change is, they always say change is as good as a rest.
Yeah.
It's still, your life is still full of fatigue and full of stress and full of problems, but they're just different problems with a different scenery to look at.
You have more on holiday because you paid to, go on holiday, so then you have to appreciate it while you're there. So you have to go and see this, you have to see it like that, you have to enjoy it, you have to go for a little walk with your family and like have a really good time. But it's tiring and it's just not,
I know I'm going to come back on holiday absolutely shattered.
Plus, I suppose you've all got other family members that you have to consider, so therefore they will want to go away, so you have to make the effort basically.
Yeah. But that's a lot of things with MS. It requires an effort because you've just got to get on with it.
I think that is part of the fatigue for me, that every tiny little thing takes so much more effort than it would do an able-bodied person, that in itself builds up my fatigue, because it takes me far more effort to put the bins out than anybody else and stuff like that. And so that
somebody described it as, when you walk in with fatigue, it's not like a normal person walking, it's like you are wading through a swimming pool. Yeah, but that's what it is. You're wading through a swimming pool, and when your fatigue is really bad, the swimming pool isn't full of water, it's full of treacle.
Yeah,
I remember you described that to me when we first met.
Yeah. Imagine walking through water, that's what...
All the time.
That's what life is like constantly, is walking through water. But when your fatigue gets worse, it's like walking through treacle. It's such an effort to put one foot in.
The word effort, there's something about... And it affects the way you think. Like, my husband might come and put a cup of tea down in front of me at the end of the day, and I'll look at it and I'll think, that's a big chunky. I'm going to have to lift that up with two hands, not just one. I know that sounds a really odd thing, but that is the level of knackeredness.
But that's the thing, it's like, my dad will say to me, do you want a drink? Do you want to have a glass of wine with tea? And I'll be like,
I just can't be bothered, I just can't do it, and Jim always wants to go and have a drink and relax. That's not relaxing. Spontaneity goes out the window, I tell you, you can't do anything for the moment. That's the biggest thing. Planning itself makes you tired, because every part of your life needs to be planned for other things.
Where's the nearest toilet, you know?
How am I going to get there, can I walk there, can I drive there, is the parking
How close will I be able to get?
Is it going to be smooth surface to walk over?
Are there going to be toilets? When I get in, is there going to be a toilet? The person you look for is the toilet. Where's the toilet?
Yeah. How am I going to get there?
You've got to think about all that before you can go anywhere or do anything. And sometimes you just think,
it's exhausting. And sometimes, like we were saying, it's easier not to do. It's easier to think about staying and have a steady, calm life than doing something exciting like going off on holiday because of the amount of time and effort it takes to get it off the ground.
I think that's why a lot of people with MS become introverts, because it's too much hassle to go out and see people and do stuff. But because it's easier just to stay at home.
Because I've had MS for so long, so I was diagnosed 23 years ago, and all that time I've spent opting out. I was just saying, no, I don't want to. Why do you want to go? I just don't want to go. Which is not true. I would love to go, but I know I can't. I can't bother, and I can't bother to put all of that pressure on other people to help me. I got invited to go to Glastonbury last weekend, and I just said, no. And he said, I'll carry you. I said, I'm not going. I will not go because I can't.
And it makes you disable yourself.
Yeah.
That's what it does. That's what it does.
That was one of the first things you said to me. I said, go such and such. You'll come, won't you, Anita? You went, no. I said, why not? Because I don't want to.
No, you pushed it a bit further. You asked me more times than that. I just don't want to go.
I don't want to do it.
So basically, you disable yourself just because other people don't understand.
It's just that you don't want to be a burden.
People don't get it. Nobody understands it. It's as simple as that. And although we all have MS, our MS is slightly different.
It is very different.
Very different.
Yeah, that's the reason
issues that I have, you don't have, things that you've had, I've not had. So we've all got different experiences. And for some people, the mobility will be the big thing. Others, it will be the fatigue. Some, it will be the vision problems. Some people have bladder problems, some people don't. But the one thing we've all got in common is that you can say something and you know that other people will get it. Because even if they've not got that symptom or they've not experienced that issue, they get it. They just understand how hard things can be because it's out of your control. You're really depressing, you know.
But the thing is, I've got a young family, and so
how do you manage two young boys, like it or not?
I just get on with it.
That's
quite good, I think, because I do get up every day and I take the kids to school and I make the pack-ups and I do this and I make sure that I've gone to their swimming lessons and got them to football practice and this and that and got tea ready and da, da, da. So it keeps you going, actually.
But then, I've had MS for 23 years nearly. My eldest daughter is 22, so I've been through all of that time with them, and it does get better.
What, the MS or the fatigue?
The fatigue. No, not the fatigue, the
balancing.
pressure on your time.
Learning how to manage.
It's the stuff you have to manage. It does ease up a little bit. And also, as they get older, they just know what you can't do, and they'll know what they just need to help you with, or know what they can ask you to help them with.
But what I'm saying is, sometimes we sound all really quite depressed at the minute, but I think that is one of the things that an outlook of the people that I've experienced with MS is, yes, we are all experiencing that, and it's nice to be able to talk about it, but actually we just get on with it, and that's part of the reason why we're tired all the time, because we push that all to one side and just get on with it. Because what's your other option, you know? Just smile and get on with it, because you need to.
So Vicky, you said that you were working still. How do you manage your fatigue if you have to work? Is it a full-time job you have?
No, I work part-time from home, and my hours are sculpted entirely around the ups and downs of how I'll be feeling in the day.
So you can basically choose what you do when according to how you feel.
So I'm really fortunate. So I do 2 hours every morning, and usually an hour late afternoon, and an hour probably around about 7 in the evening. And strangely enough, I always have more energy in the evenings.
Really?
Which is really odd. It's when my walking's at its best in the evening.
So you can capitalise on that for your work?
Yes. But like, if I have to go to a Zoom meeting at work, if I'm taking notes or something and it's the afternoon, after 5 minutes I can't even, my hand just won't even write, and I just want the call to be over, because, and so there's something that's happened that's cut off my energy supply, you know.
Right.
And by the evening it'll be fully back to normal and it'll be great, and I can write an essay almost, but it's just experiencing this, it's almost like someone flicks a switch with me, and it, like, there's just a sudden power cut.
I was like that when I first got ill. I was only 22, something like that, and I was still working full-time, and I was living at home, and I would get up in the morning, and I would sit in the armchair, and I'd fall asleep, and my mum would wake me up for lunch, and I'd have lunch, and then I'd fall asleep again. And she'd wake me up, and I'd have tea, and I'd fall asleep, and she'd wake me up to go to bed. And that was every Saturday, every Sunday, that's how I got through the week at work, because it was very on and off. But my mum used to say that she could tell when I was about to fall asleep. I couldn't keep myself awake. It was almost like narcolepsy. I literally could not stay awake. And she said she could see it in my face that I'd gone completely, and no matter what she said to me, I wasn't going to respond because I was asleep. So it's like a power button. The button's gone. I've switched off. I'll turn me back on again in a few hours.
And it's not dependent on the amount of sleep you've had or how much exercise you've done.
No.
It's like a law unto itself almost. And I think the word fatigue needs to be rebranded, because I don't think when you talk about fatigue with other people,
I get that.
Yeah,
for me, there's two sides of it. There's the side we've all talked about, which is the tiredness and the constancy of everything that's making it really difficult, more difficult. But there's also, like you were saying about your muscles not being able to hold a pen. So there's the physical tiredness and the tiredness that's in you, but also, like, if I've been doing drawing or whatever too long, I won't actually be able to hold my pen anymore and I'll have to stop.
But is that the chronic fatigue side of it, in that you get to a position and what you're doing and you've hit a wall and you cannot do anymore and you just have to stop? And you might be feeling a bit better in 5 minutes, you just stop completely for about 5-10 minutes, and then you maybe feel a little bit better, but not totally better. But yeah, it's just weird.
Would you say it was one of your earliest symptoms, or has it sort of come over time?
It was my first symptom, and definitely the only symptom really that I had for the first 9 years.
Really?
So that was later for me, but it's only recently that fatigue's been an issue.
Yeah, same as me.
So my first issues were walking. bouncing off bushes on the way to the station and stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't have any walking issues or anything. I went skiing. But looking back, I did. I had balance problems because I used to walk into the doorway and I would bang my legs when I sat down at the desk and things like that. But people just thought I was clumsy.
Yeah.
Well, a few people thought I had a drink problem.
People often say that though about people with MS. They thought, think, are they drunk?
But they just thought I was clumsy. I was bruised because I was walking into things. And it wasn't until I had a sensory problem 9 years in that they put the sensory problem along with the fatigue and a few other bits and pieces that you wouldn't even really have registered. And then that's when they questioned, could this be MS?
That's why it's so difficult because everyone's so different. So my fatigue will be different to Mickey's and everybody's, and when we experience it as well, and how long you can go until you get fatigued.
But then people start talking to you and wanting you to explain fatigue to them, and then that makes it worse, and you just can't, and then you end up being rude, and then you feel awful, and it's just horrible. It's just horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Rachel, I know she's had problems recently, but prior to that she was walking loads. She would go into York and walk around York.
Yeah, well, I was quite envious.
And I'm just like, I could never dream of doing that. And yet she would do that quite often, so she didn't really have
the type of fatigue that you're talking about.
But she did have fatigue, but she used to make herself go out with Alan, and it was only like once a week or so. It wasn't like every day. They'd just go out and walk.
But they'd walk around York and go for coffee and things like that.
They'd walk from coffee shop to coffee shop.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite the way you think.
Yeah, but wouldn't have been able to do
I'd maybe manage one and I'd be like, I'm tired.
But then when I first moved to York, which is about 6 years ago, I could go out for a walk. I used to just go to York, not around the whole of York, but I used to just go and park and then go and walk to somewhere. Now I can't. I couldn't.
Well, thank you very much for sharing your experiences of fatigue. It's good to help people understand as well what it means, and it's certainly good to help me understand the when it hits me.
Your life. It might not though.
It might not.
You might go sailing through.
But it might.
Yeah.
But it might. Nobody knows, do they?
People experience different symptoms. Some symptoms that are deemed as classic MS symptoms can just pass you by completely. So you don't know. There's so many different symptoms, you don't know which ones you're going to pick and mix, really.